this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
Come on, the world's been real loud this week, y'all. The world's been loud. We got to get loud. Mark 10, verse 46, and they came. This is they. Jesus and his disciples came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. Somebody say begging and blind. Remember, his begging was because he was blind. He wasn't a beggar first, and then he became blind. And so a lot of times, one issue that we don't deal with turns into multiple issues. Come on now. If you have money problems, it can mess up your marriage. Infidelity is not the number one reason for divorce. Money is the reason for divorce. So when you don't have the right job or a job, it can mess up your relationship, your marriage, it can mess up your family. So he's begging because he's blind, verse 47. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out to Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I'm going to get my shout on. It's been a long week. Amen. You may be seated. I'm not talking about any other church. I'm speaking the truth of Living Way here. That all week long, the city has tried to silence churches. The city has asked for them to shut their doors. Isn't it amazing that martyrdom and the threat of onslaught and killing, that's what we thought it would take to shut the doors of churches in America? Little did we know that the government would just have to ask politely and thousands of doors, boom, 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 boom. And I love the online experience. We got it going on right now. And you might want to mute it if you're online for the next, 8 seconds. There are some things that you can only get in the room. I'm not saying he can't do it there, but there's something about being in the room. Can I talk to those of you that made the effort today to get to the room today? It's time. Oh, come on now. You made the effort. You better go ahead and glorify and praise God that you made it through all of the mess. You turned down the volume of the world to turn up the volume of the Holy Ghost and say, God, as for me and my house, we're going to serve you. We're going to go to your house. We're going to talk about Jesus. This is when they need to hear you the most. I've been begging. I've been blind, but now I see. Well, here we are to shout. The masses have said, maybe just take a couple weeks off. No. Maybe just go to the online experience. No, we'll do that too. We'll do that in addition. But we've been doing that for years. But when you really need something, when you really are going through something, you're not going to listen to all of the chirping from the left and the right of you that is saying maybe you should go about it a different way. Maybe you should get in line, Bartimaeus. Maybe Bartimaeus understands. And understand this, when you actually go back in the context of Jesus coming into Jericho, the Bible says that Jesus came into Jericho and he had come out of Jericho. I didn't even touch on this 2 weeks ago. Jesus came into Jericho, which meant he had already passed by Bartimaeus once. And so now he is on his trip out of Jericho. And he's passing by Bartimaeus again. Bartimaeus knows, I already let him go one time. And I let people hush me. And I let people quiet me. And I let people try to speak to how I need this need met in my life. But this time, I'm not letting anybody stop me from getting his attention. It's one thing if Jesus tells me to be quiet. It's one thing if Jesus tells me I'm out of line. But I'm not going to have some also-rans. I'm not going to have the people that forgot what it's like to be blind or to beg. I'm not going to let the Christians and believers that have been saved too long to remember what it's like to be lost. I'm not going to allow them to quiet me down. So he said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And when he said this, the Bible says that the masses tried to shut him up. There's a Hebrew word for shout. And all my church folk are going to love this because you've heard it before. But it means Shabbat. When we talk about shout, we're not talking about just a guttural scream. We are talking about raising our voice for a purpose. Raising our voice because we are attempting to get something done. We are attempting to get someone's attention. And so when you look at the word, Hebrew word, shout, Shabbat, it means to address in a loud tone. It typically is associated with victory or with triumph. The 47th Psalm, verse 1 says, "Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout," which in the Hebrew here, Shabbat unto God. With the voice of triumph. I want to encourage you, instead of raising your voice just to raise your voice, shout from a place of victory and shout from a place of triumph. That when I lift my voice, I know that Jesus is going to hear my voice. When I lift my voice in a Shabbat, I know that not only is he going to hear it, but he's going to bring all of heaven with him, and he is going to take presence in the shout of my life. One of the most disappointing things is to have an altar full of people and you come by them and our altar workers can attest to them and you say, "What are you down here to pray for?" And they get this deer in the headlight look and they don't know why they're even in the altar and they can't even express what has brought them and I don't know, I just want more of God. That's an all right answer. But for those that come to the altar with purpose, for those that on a Monday or Tuesday can shout and bring all of heaven into their cubicle, into their car, into their job, into their home. For those of us that understand the power of a shout, that when we shout, it changes the atmosphere. It transforms the situation. That when I shout, I'm not hoping for victory. I'm shouting from victory. I'm not hoping that I win. I'm shouting to a God that when he steps into my situation, I know that I win. Verse 49, and Jesus stood still. Come on. After the second shout, first shout, people said, "Shut up." The Bible says he cried even the greater. Sometimes you're going to have to turn up the volume on what you did before that didn't work. Sometimes we try it once, and because it doesn't work, we think we failed, and we think we're using the wrong method and that it's not going to work. Sometimes it was the right method. It just wasn't strong enough. It wasn't loud enough. That's why I love Living Way Church, because we are not a quiet church. We are not a sitting in the pew and watch somebody else worship church. When the music starts, people come to this altar and they lift their hands. I see people from the front to the back engaged in a worship encounter with God. Why? Because we understand that when we shout, things begin to happen. We understand that the world has tried to shut us up all week long. But when we come into the house of God, when we get ready to worship, when we get loud for God, sometimes it's just turning the volume up on what we're already doing. Shouts greater. Verse 49, so thick with revelation. And Jesus stood still. When was the last time your shout stopped? Jesus is on his way to another miracle. He's got a tent meeting on down the road, and he's focused on where he's going. And at first there was a shout. Thought he might have heard something, but nothing really came of it, and they shushed him. But then somewhere along the line, Bartimaeus turned up the volume, and I love what Bartimaeus said, "Jesus, thou son of David." Bartimaeus knew who Jesus was. He wasn't just casually calling to him. He understands that you are the Messiah, that you come from the line of David, that you are, come on, that you are the promised one, that you are the chosen one. And so when he calls out, the Bible says that Jesus stood still. When you get the right shout, Jesus stops, pivots, and turns to you. Doesn't matter what's going on. When you say Jesus, boom, you've got his attention. That's why we don't use that name in a profane way. Because you waste opportunity. That's why when you slam your finger in the car door, if you're calling on his name, it better be because you need a healing in your life, not because you're mad, not because you're in pain. And so when I call the name of Jesus, his head snaps. When I say Jesus in such a way that he knows I'm calling from a place of need and victory, he understands. Here is somebody that understands my power because I can hear the volume and the desire and faith in their voice. It's amazing to me. The scientific fact that a mother and a baby knows what her sounds like. Can I remind you that you are a child of God? Come on, the world has been screaming all week long. These political rallies are embarrassing. People screaming, people shouting, people coming against people on the street, people fighting in HEB over toilet paper. There's not a square to spare in all of San Antonio. People are losing their mind. They're screaming, they're cussing, they're yelling. They're wondering all what. But when a believer says, Jesus, I need you, all of heaven pivots to look at you. Why? Because you are a child of God. You are his responsibility. When you said yes to Jesus, when you accepted him into your life, every time that you call on his name, he is there. Your shout makes Jesus stand still. The Bible says Jesus stood and commanded him to be called. Commanded him to be called and brought. So your shout, number two, gives you an audience with Jesus. I've been privileged to meet 3 billionaires in my lifetime. In those meetings with billionaires, I don't ask a lot of questions. I don't do a lot of talking because this is my mindset. I will most likely never be in their audience again. And I want to hear everything they have to say. I know what I would say. I'm with me every day. I'm not a billionaire. They are. I want to hear how they were successful, what they had to overcome, any tips they might have for me. I'm just glad. I'm like the ugly girl at prom. I'm just happy to be there. But I love the fact that I can have an audience with Jesus at 11:55 on a Sunday. But tomorrow at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I can have that same audience. You say, well, you don't have the praise team behind you. I love them, but I don't need them. You say, well, you don't have all of the great faith people around you. I love you, but I don't need you. Why? Because I got the Savior, the creator of all of the world, that when I call on his name, boom, he is right there in my presence. That's why praise becomes paramount. Because every time you lift up the name of Jesus, every time you say hallelujah, Jesus shows up with everything that you need. Your shout gives you an audience. You don't think a shout gives you an audience? Just go in HEP and start screaming bloody murder. You'll have an audience. They'll cuff you and drag you out. They'll quarantine you, not for corona, but for rabies or something else. But when I shout, I get the audience. And let me tell you something. When I shout, I'm not going to waste his time. I'm not just going to say, well, God, I'm just kind of going through it. And I'm going to say, Jesus, the reason I shouted is this is going on in my life. This does not match the promise you have for my life. This does not match the peace and expected end that you promised me in Jeremiah. And so I need you to do this. When you shout, it causes God to stand still and gives you an audience with Jesus. And then I love this. The Bible says, and when they call, when he said, commanded him to be called, they called the blind man saying, be of good comfort. The same people that told him to shut up are now telling him it's going to be all right. Jesus has called you. I see that word comfort, and it brings me to my third point. Your shout will bring an infusion of the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, I do not leave you by yourself, but I'm sending a comforter. There is a comfort knowing that I'm blind, but I'm in the presence of Jesus. Come on, church. There's a comfort knowing that I'm broke, but I'm in the presence of Jesus. Why? Because if I'm blind and I'm in his presence, I can't stay blind. If I'm broke and I'm in his presence, I can't stay broke. The issue is we've got to get in that presence and we've got to abide in that presence. We've got to live in that presence. Jesus and this believer and disciple thing is not something we just put on Sunday morning and high-five a few people in Living Way and shout during the sermon and when they sing our favorite song, lift our hand. Being a believer and a disciple means you're going to follow Jesus out of this room today. That you're going to wake up tomorrow saying, all right, Jesus, where are we going today? What are we doing today? Who are we talking to today? Your will is my will. Let's get something done. When I'm sick, oh, Jesus, I'm feeling a little under the weather, but I know you sit over the weather. I'm in your presence, so this thing can't stay. When you get bad news can't stay. Why? Because you're infused with the good news. The gospel of Jesus Christ and the Jesus Christ of that gospel is in your presence. When you shout, have you ever been so mad? Just yelled at him. With his presence, in his presence, Holy Ghost shows up. Now everything, what so bad, now does it already in the presence of Jesus. They called to the blind man and said, be of good comfort, rise. Your shout will elevate you. Your shout will cause you to rise. Your shout will give you a different perspective. When you rise, you have a different perspective. I've told this story many times before. Me and Tyler, I think we were on vacation. Tyler was maybe 2 or 3 years old, and I had him by the hand. First one to get on the elevator. Got on the elevator. And every floor up, somebody else would get on the elevator. It wasn't just a few minutes later. There's about 10 or 12 people on that elevator. We're shoulder to shoulder. Tyler's the only little boy in there. And it's all just grown men and grown women. And I looked down at Tyler, and he put both hands up. He said, pick me up, Dad. I reached down to pick him up. When I reached down to pick him up, I was at his perspective. I don't need to make it real plain for you, but a 2-year-old toddler's perspective in an elevator full of adults, grown adults, is not a good perspective. It doesn't look good. I'm sure it doesn't smell good. It's not a good environment. But what happens is when he said, Dad, pick me up, I scooped him up in my arms. I put him on my hip. And now he has the Father's perspective. Now think, oh, come on now. If you were going to shout, that'd be a place to shout. Now he's got the Father's perspective, and everything has changed. Can I tell you that when you shout, God comes down to you, but he picks you up to where he is and gives you a fresh perspective. When I shout, I elevate my perspective, and I see how God sees. Turn to your neighbor and tell him you don't need a new location. You just need a new perspective. Come on, write it down if you're taking notes. New perspective. Finally, be of good comfort. Rise, for Jesus calls you. I love this last one. Your shout reveals your calling. Your shout reveals your calling. Above everything that's going on, blind Bartimaeus is hearing. Is not messed up. It's his sight. He hears fine. But because of all of the commotion around him, his hearing that is 100% is now affected because there is something between him and the voice of Jesus. So the people that shushed him now said, be of good comfort, rise, for he calleth thee. He said, there is a calling waiting for you. Let me encourage you. Not what you do, but who you are. Bruce preached about it last week. Be about it. Not your job at Walmart. We love that you get that paycheck. Not your job at Chase. We love that you get your paycheck. But your creative purpose. Why? God called you. Bartimaeus, God called you to be a preacher. You said to Bartimaeus, go on to be a preacher. Yes, he did. He's preaching right now. 2,000 years later, Bartimaeus is being preached every Sunday in some Holy Ghost-filled church because he was blind, but now he sees. I want to encourage you that if you are lost, if you're looking for identity, if you don't know what you're supposed to do with your life, if it seems like you're up against a brick wall, if you will shout and have God show up, God is going to whisper, God is going to shout, God is going to tell you what you are called to do. Jaden, bring me that right next to you. Bring me that. Okay, so the five things. Jesus stood still. Jesus stood still. After he stood still, he commands them, I need Bartimaeus here. They called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, for he calls thee. Verse 50. Bartimaeus gets up. Bartimaeus was wearing a coat, a garment that was meant for the beggars, not the blind, the beggars. Every day, on this garment, because he couldn't see the people he was begging from, but they could see him. So every morning, not the robe of righteousness, not the garment of praise, but his conditional garment. And every day he would say, this is who I am. This is what I do. No, it's not, Bartimaeus. Someone done lied to you. This is who I am. This is what I do. Verse 50. One of the greatest statements of faith in the Bible is Bartimaeus is not promised a healing. All he's promised is an audience with Jesus. But in the promise of an audience with Jesus, Bartimaeus' faith is never preached about, but I'm going to take about 120 seconds and preach Bartimaeus' faith. Bartimaeus had so much faith that he said, everything that I've been comfortable with, all of the labels that have been attached to me, things like divorce, things like addiction, things like doubt, things like worry, things like lack, things like poverty, things like sickness, everything that I have carried from my past, the Bible says this, that Bartimaeus took his garment. And I love this statement of faith, church, because he said, I'm never going to need that again. If I can get to the presence of Jesus, I know he's going to heal me. I know he's going to touch me. I know he's going to elevate me. Some of you got to get rid of the coat. You keep carrying the coat saying, well, if it doesn't work, I got my plan B. No, you got to burn the plow, Elisha. You got to burn the ship, Peter. There is no going back. There is no going back to how it was. We are living this thing because I know if I can just shout loud enough for him to call me, when I'm in the presence of Jesus, I know I'll never be the same. Stand on your feet. I'll never be the same. Ever. I just see him taking off years. Years of labels. Years of begging. Years of blindness. Then you said, Jesus, call me. If he talks to me, I know I'm never going to need this again. Told all the other beggars, no pun intended, but I'll see you later. Because I'm not coming to the begging. I'm not coming to the beggar side of town anymore. I'm not going to be in the gutter anymore. Jesus is calling me. I didn't shout to make him stop just so he could give me a handout. I shouted to make him stop so he could give me a hand up and elevate me to the level as a child of God. You say, are you a child of God? Come on, Bartimaeus said, son of David. You have mercy. He understood mercy. He understood who Jesus was. When you shout, all of heaven shows up, and you don't have to stay the same way you are. Get your shout on. Get your shout back. Take off the garments. Real quick, stay on your feet. Stay on your feet. He cast away his garments. He rose up. Came to Jesus. 30 more. Said, follow me. No discord. Dialogue. Follow me. The Bible says that Levi did three things. Took all, rose up, followed. That order. When people backslide, it's because they rose up before they forsook all. And when you rise up before you make the decision to forsake all, you'll follow God for a moment, but not for a lifetime. There's a lot of people that make an emotional decision on a Sunday, and they rise up and they follow Jesus, but they never really forsake it all. The Bible says in verse 50, Bartimaeus cast away his garment in a sitting position, rose up, and went to meet Jesus. Jesus said, as your faith is, so be it unto you. Not even a question of faith. There was no discourse like the man that saw trees walking that needed a second touch. None of that. Because Jesus said, I just saw this dude. Jesus sometimes talked like that, I really believe. Jesus said, I just saw this dude take off the beggar garment. I just saw him. He literally cut ties with that lifestyle and said, God, I'm in your presence. My shout stopped you. My shout gave me your perspective. My shout gave me audience. And I know you didn't bring me this far to turn me right back to the garment, begging, and blindness. I want to open this altar right now for those of you that in the middle of a pandemic, man, Bishop said so many good things this morning. He wasn't even preaching, but he's preaching about grace or disgrace. We'll have it all online tonight. But I love what he said. He said, what good is your faith if it doesn't work in a pandemic? Our faith is strong. But it doesn't mean that the past, things that you've been labeled with. I want to talk to, I just feel in my spirit. You know this is not how I usually operate. I feel in my spirit, there's an adult here that you're still struggling with the diagnosis of ADHD and ADD that you carried from when you were in eighth grade all the way till now. And you've carried that label. I want to tell you, cast that away today. Come to an altar. God's going to touch your mind. God's going to bring focus. God's going to bring faith. There's somebody else that has had chronic pain, back pain, for years in this room. And you're here right now. You're saying, oh, Pastor, now you're starting down my road. You've had chronic pain for years, and it's just bad enough to mess with you, but not bad enough for you to really seek God about it. I'm here to tell you, if it hurts you, it matters to God. If it weighs on your mind or your body, it matters to God. I want those chronic pain sufferers to come and join us in this altar. Talking about those that might be physically blind but spiritually blind. Man, I don't know what's going on. I don't see the future. Let me tell you something. I don't make light. I'm not naive. I'm not oblivious to the coronavirus. But I know that I've got so much appointments on the other side of this mountain. This mountain will move in Jesus' name. So many have answered this altar appeal already, but I believe that there's a few more. Come on, Bartimaeus. Leave that garment at your seat. Come and find Jesus in this moment. He's talking to you right now. There's a room full of people, but he's talking to your heart. He's pulling on your heartstrings. He's ministering to your spirit. Come on, take off the garment of lack. Take off the garment of doubt and worry. Take off the garment of panic and fear. And allow God to do exactly what he said he would. In this house today, my final altar appeal is the most important, because if you don't know Jesus, in this day and age, I don't know how you...